You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, so Paul Jones is the great analyst on the Raptors radio broadcast team in Toronto. And, of course, they got a huge game tomorrow night with the Cavs after losing game one in overtime, a stunning loss. Paul, thanks for coming on the bench, my man.
My pleasure. I'm unfortunately way too familiar. My nickname when I played was the judge because I used to sit on the bench.
So, I believe that.
I'm quite comfortable on the bench.
I think that's fantastic news. Listen, I got to tell you, first of all, just so we're clear, I'm rooting for the Raptors. Secondly, I think, you know, I've said on the show that I like them in the series. And I'm a huge fan of the city. Okay, so I always love going to Toronto. I've been there a million times. I've called games there in the NHL for the Thrashers against the Leafs. It's just the most fantastic town in the world. But I have to be clear here that we get a lot of abuse on this show with fans about the Raptors. What happens is they all call up crying about respect, but they don't get any respect, and it's gotten just painful to listen to over the last couple of years with all the complaining about, oh, no one respects the Raptors. Listen, Paul, tell me what the problem is where they don't win these series, and they don't, you know, they haven't performed well in these opening rounds, in these opening games. Their series records in these opening games are just atrocious. I don't understand it at all because I think they're completely loaded. Please explain to me what the problem is.
Well, nobody knows what the problem is, although I'll say this. Over the last, three seasons, they have dropped game one, yet gone on to win the series 3 out of 5 times. The 2 times that they didn't, they were playing that guy LeBron. And it probably wasn't a good omen to drop game one last night, especially when, you know, they had played so well. They came out with the right energy. And that's a tough loss to swallow. I mean, I think I've read somewhere where the Raptors or Cleveland became only the second team in NBA playoff history to win a game while not leading at all in regulation time. So, and as for our fan base up here, we have had increasing respect over the years in terms of the team becoming better and better, and people within the league respecting the team. But my brethren to the south, right, in the United States,
right,
some of them, and not all of them, but the problem with, you know, and you know, because you're part of it, we, the quote media, unquote,
right,
one person says something and everybody jumps on board. And some of my colleagues in the U.S. that, you know, they give the excuse that their cable doesn't work and get Raptor games. That does a disservice to the team, and they regurgitate the same old narrative when it's not true, and I think that's what angers the fans. And I think the fact that everybody says, well, same old Raptors. Well, no, they're not the same old Raptors. I mean, they you know, people say, well, LeBron's in their head. Well, let me tell you, over the last, 7 years, you've got Miami, Chicago, Indiana, Atlanta, Cleveland, Boston, and now Toronto this year, the 8th year, those have been your number one seeds. And unless you got LeBron on your team, you're not getting to the finals. So for people to say same old Raptors and LeBron's in their head, I think fans take umbrage with that because he's let nobody through to the finals and he's in everybody's head.
Yeah.
So I think that's where the frustration is centered with the Toronto fan base.
I think they're spoiled because fans know he's so great And they don't respect the fact that he always ends up winning and getting to the finals. And they're so used to seeing it that instead of glorifying how great he is, all they do is blame the teams that can't beat him.
Well, and look, you and I know this from being in this business. Greatness is polarizing. People either, back in the day, I'm a huge Tiger Woods fan, but you either loved him or you wanted to see him duff every shot.
Right.
I mean, you know, go back and Muhammad Ali, people love the Louisville lip and others just wanted to see him get knocked out every fight. Greatness is polarizing, and LeBron is no different. So, you're either with him or against him and there's no in between. And I think that's what people are looking at. Like, this guy wins all the time. And if you're a LeBron fan, you're like, you know, you want the streak to continue. And if you're not, you can't wait for somebody, anybody, to knock him off.
I think they have Paul Jones with his radio side on the Raptors broadcast. It was the same old story. If you ask me, DeRozan and Lowry did what they had to do in the game. I thought they both played well. I thought DeRozan shot 10 of 20 from the floor. He didn't shoot well from outside. But I thought Lowry, you know, hit three bombs. I thought Valanciunas played well, 21 rebounds. There's no denying. The more I thought about what Dwayne Casey said after the game was we played better than them, I would probably agree with that because the whole game they played better. The whole game they were up. The whole game they led. The whole game they did their job. And then they lost in overtime. And the Cavs played better in overtime. And the Raptors played better in reg. So how do they beat them tomorrow night? Because in my view, it's absolutely imperative that they split those games in Toronto.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, there are whispers that if Cleveland gets the next one, you know, people are going to have the brooms out in Northeast Ohio. Look, I think the formula is pretty much the same. They came out with great energy in the first quarter. Terrific ball pressure defensively. And the problem was they lost the other guys. They blew an opportunity in that LeBron shot 12 of 30. I mean, and in the Indiana series, no other Cavalier player scored 20 points. Well, last night between J.R. Smith with his 20, Kyle Korver with 19, I think Jeff Green had 15, and Tristan Thompson had 14 with 9 offensive rebounds. Those four guys gave LeBron James help, 69 points. And when he's able to let somebody else drive the bus and then get out of the backseat and say, okay, move over, I'll take us the rest of the way home, they're tough to beat. And the Raptors, they lost guys that they needed to get a hold of over the course of the game. J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, the two of them were 5 for 10 from three. You can't do that. The Raptors transformed themselves this year into a three-point shooting team. They were 49-11 this year when they made 10 or more threes. They were outscored from behind the arc last night, 14-9. Those are the things that you can't have happen. You have very little margin for error as it is playing a LeBron James team. You can't give them more shots at the hoop, more opportunities. You can't give them free passes in a sense.
Do you feel that they, like on that last play where they gave Van Vliet the look, and it was a clean look, there's no denying that was a good look and you got to take that shot. But, you know, he really didn't shoot well in the game at all, if you ask me. And I thought that shot was just a brick. He just looked so heavy on that shot. Do you believe that they'll go back to that guy for the last shot in a regulation or overtime game, or do they have to go DeRozan, Lowry, no matter what? Why did they go to Van Vliet? Do they have that much faith in him, especially after he's not shooting well?
I thought it was just the way that the defense played DeMar, going baseline. He had everybody below the broken circle, and he kicks it out to Fred. And look, to Fred's defense, he's a 41% shooter from three. There was a game late in the year in Detroit where DeRozan did the same thing, drive the lane, kick it to Van Vliet, who knocked it down. Since January 1st, Van Vliet, I think, is amongst the top three-point shooters in terms of makes, particularly from the corner. the kid just missed a shot. And you know, take it what you as you will, an excuse or it's just fact. He's coming off a very bad shoulder injury. He played 3 minutes in game two against Washington and then not again till game six. He talked at practice today that, yeah, the shoulder is probably impacting his shot, but he's just going to keep playing through it. So I would hazard to guess that if they got that look again and Fred got that look again, he's going to shoot it again.
Wow, that doesn't sound good to me that you are talking about his shoulder, because we knew that he was out and now he's back in. And then because I saw that shot, you saw it, you were there. It was fat. It was very heavy. I don't like that, to be honest with you. It does not sound good. It does not sound like he's healthy and he's like, I'm just going to play through it. Well, it looked like you're playing through it with that shot. I'm not trying to be mean. I think they should keep the ball in DeRozan and Lowry's hands no matter what. I also believe that I have no problem pounding it down to the big fella. I think, you know, Valanciunas is a monster and you're down one. Right? Like, what are you shooting a bomb for when you got that monster? Throw it into him and get a call on your home floor. If you get it into the low block and the paint to that big guy, he's going to get so much contact, it's not even funny. Are you surprised they didn't go to him?
Well, they went to him a lot. I mean, he was one of seven in the fourth quarter in overtime. He was, you're right, though, he was a monster in the first and third quarter. They did not get enticed, and Cleveland could not get them to succumb to playing their game with Kevin Love at the five. And to be honest, the Raptors played old-time basketball. They went inside to Valanciunas. They pounded the ball down low. He had the franchise's first ever 20-20 double-double with 21 and 21. But in the third and fourth quarter, because I think in the fourth quarter in overtime, because he was featured so much, I think he ran out of gas. I think he got a little fatigued. And
really?
He missed some layups. If he makes one more layup, it's a different story. I mean, he had a tip at the end of regulation that didn't go down. And to be honest, I don't know if I'm going to pull the respect card again here, my man. I don't know if you get the ball down low, even in your own gym against a LeBron James team, that you are going to get the benefit of the call. I'll say this. They got a clean look. And we know the league. All you ask is for a good look at the basket, and they got a great one.
I won't deny that was the greatest look ever. Any time, I'll take that shot. But he shot it so fat. All I'm saying is, all right, I've already seen that. It didn't work. So he's obviously injured. The guy's a great shooter, but he shot the ball like my daughter. And I gotta tell you, I pound the ball down to that big fella. I don't care how tired he is, because he's such a monster that I would just demand the pill, get into the block, spin around, and throw down, because you know he's going to get a double the minute he gets it, because he was already getting 20 shots in the game. I don't like their play calling at the end. You got to have a better play, even though that was a delicious look. Not with a guy that can't shoot with a busted up shoulder, it isn't, because he looked like it. I'm rooting for you. You're great. I love talking to you. You're awesome on the show talking basketball. I could talk hoop with you all night. Paul Jones, thank you very much. Good luck tomorrow night. I'm sure the Raptors will play better.
All right. Hey, look me up again. I love coming on with you.
I like that guy. Paul Jones of Raptors Radio on the bench tonight, Carver High, getting involved.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.